Welcome back, everyone, to Red Spotlight Entertainment. I'm Alexis, joined by David Francisco, of course, for our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. reaction commentary series. We are here at last. We're going to actually get into the season finale of the third season, which has felt like it's taken us quite a long time to get here. But hey, I think it's quite fitting that we're going to be rounding out the end of 2025 with season three. And you know, it's actually kind of interesting because I feel like we still have so much of this show to go. We still have the other half of this series to get into. So I hope people have been enjoying it. And again, because this is made for the longtime Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan that wants to come back on here and talk endlessly about one of our favorite shows of all time. And we're only just barely, if at all, getting halfway through. I mean, I know that we have 136 episodes and I can't do math in my head. If we divide that by two, I don't know what that would be, but I want to say that we're about hitting the halfway point. Maybe not yet, but pretty soon. And it's crazy to think about that we've been doing this since April 2024. Mm-hmm. And we're only maybe halfway done. There's still a lot more show to go. Mm-hmm. I hope you guys have been having a good time. And I think as we always proclaim every week that we're on this show, we just have an amazing time being able to reacquaint ourselves and just remember all those little itty bitty details of this show, of which there are quite a few, as a matter of fact, when it comes to a series like this. So, it's going to be another fun one today here. The episode that we're getting into today is going to be already 21. So, some background, of course, when it comes to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., with the exception of season 1, season 5, season 4, and probably, no, yeah, with the exception of those seasons, episode 21 acts as like part 1 of a 2-part finale, whereas the other seasons have more, I think, maybe kind of complete episodes, although... Well, I mean, I feel like with this one that we're about to watch, it very much ends, and then episode 22 just picks up immediately after. I think the same way, like with last season's 2-part finale, SOS, part 1 and part 2. Today's episode is going to be Ascension. No, it's Absolution. I'm so sorry. It's Absolution. This was written by Drew Z. Greenberg, one of our favorites here, and Chris, is it Dingus or Jingus? I don't even know. Directed by Billy Gearhart. This was broadcast originally on May 17th, 2016 on ABC Television Network to 3.03 million viewers. That might be the total viewers for both of the episodes, I'm thinking, because I'm pretty sure they probably aired these on the same night. Which is something else I believe that they've done for ABC. So I think with season 2 and season 3, they did 2 episodes as the season finale. And that did not happen again until season 6 and season 7. So I believe it was seasons 2, 3, 6, and 7 that had like 2-part as they were broadcast, I want to say. Not necessarily how they were written, so. Just something, a little bit of trivia for those of you who care. I'm sure none of you did, but I just wanted to share with you on that one. Here's the returning main cast, of course. Phil Coulson, played by Clark Gregg, obviously is our main anchor here. Obviously, returning Ming-Na Wen, Brett Dalton, Chloe Bennett, Ian DeCastaker, Elizabeth Henstridge, Henry Simmons, and Luke Mitchell. And joined by our recurring guests, John Hannah as Holden Radcliffe, Axel Whitehead as James Hellfire, Mark Dacascos as Guerra, Natalia Cordova Buckley as Elena, Yo-Yo Rodriguez, Derek Phillips as O'Brien, and Adrian Pasdar as Glenn Talbot. Yes, we're already here. I can't even believe that we're at the end of this season. And I'm sure it's about to get pretty crazy because if memory serves, just so you know, every finale of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think, gets a little bit bonkers. So mm-hmm. That's going to be what it's going to be. Before we move on and actually begin diving into this episode by reacting to it, A comment that we perhaps may need to respond to, David?
Yeah. There's three. Wait, oh, here it is. Okay. First one's from Silva. Hello there, fellow agents. Hope all is good. Just wanting you to know that Clark Gregg and Chloe Bennett were at San Antonio Space Con this year, almost 2 weeks ago, and did a panel. Well, 2 weeks ago, this is like, what, three, 4 weeks now? A month? No, 13 days ago. Like a month now. and did a panel for AOS. It's about a half hour long. It's a fun watch. Check it out when you get a minute to relax.
I need to be a better S.H.I.E.L.D. fan to catch those conversations. I've just been so inundated with a lot of different things that I've just not even had the chance to do so. But I definitely will make time for that. At least I'm hoping by the time that the year is over. I'm sure that when we get to the holidays, I'm going to have plenty of time to like have a couple of things to watch for sure.
Mm-hmm. And next one's from Spartan Fish. Just gotta run through the playlist. Hope y'all crush it on here. Which, thank you. and then this person commented on the first episode, on the pilot episode.
Uh-huh.
I hope you laugh at it. He puts, man, I love AOS. Watched the entire series in 9 days when I first watched it. Hardest binge I've ever done. But 1.5 hours for one episode? Count me out.
So, okay, so
our reaction video is 1.5 hours long. He's just like, nah, I don't want
to. It's always kind of hilarious how we're just dogged by people who feel the need to comment on how long our stuff is that they will never listen to it. Although the fact that the length was such an affront to their senses, they still felt the need to leave a comment to communicate that to us is pretty hilarious. That kind of comment is something that we've seen literally forever. I don't know what people hope to accomplish by doing that. Clearly, we're not deterred by that. Clearly at all. We could give a rat's ass how long it is. I mean, look, we've done 4-hour podcasts in the past. We don't really do this for people's entertainment. I hope people understand that. We do this for our own sanity, just because we feel like doing it. We do this for us, not for anybody else. The fact that anybody else happens to enjoy this, God bless you. Apparently, it's an impossible task because, you know, we've had a lot of negative comments left on our stuff throughout the years by people who, quite frankly, I don't think even were bothered to listen to what we said. I think more so it was just they were offended that normal people dared to have long podcasts. And I don't know. I just feel like when we get comments like that, I just like, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to each their own, I guess. But like, sure, I don't know what that would mean to suggest. But it's like, hey, I mean, I'm happy that somebody binge watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and they liked the show and great. Hey, look, long form content. And I guess this kind of conversation isn't meant for everybody. I would hope that most S.H.I.E.L.D. fans would open themselves. And I'm not going to, you know, praise our content as anything amazing. I want to be clear about that. You know, I mean, I feel like some of the things that we cover on this particular commentary series may be a bit too much into the minutiae show, certain things. I think you really, 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 really have to love this show and have, you know, be passionate about it to be able to even listen to our ugly voices, you know. beamed at you the entire time. So yeah, I understand it. What can I tell you?
Yeah. But yeah, that's all the comments. I thought that was really funny.
I'm sure it is funny. And it is. It's just, it's a joke that for me, it wasn't funny in the first place. Then it was funny, then it just got old, and now I'm just like, okay, I expect it. So for me, it's like, oh yeah, good one. Go check out our 5,000 videos with like a million comments exactly like it. So it's like, oh, okay, great. Another asshole over here. Whatevs. We're going to go ahead and get into this episode then. Let's go ahead and press play in 3, 2, 1, and go. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay. All right, so they don't necessarily reveal this in the first few minutes, but I think it'll become quite apparent. Just so you know, and I think you already know a little bit of this, they end up paying off what I believe it was in the last episode or the one before that about like Fitzsimmons finding a creative way to like handicap Hive in a way, and they're going to use the memory machine to really fuck with his memories. And I gotta say, that was something so out of pocket. I wasn't sure what I was watching when I first saw it, and I was like, wow, this is incredible, and it produced some pretty amazing results. And I want to get that out of the way with, because right now this is a pretty incredible opening sequence, because there is so much that happens in just these first, well this obviously is more of a prelude, maybe kind of like a harbinger of like obviously death and destruction, the sequence here with them on Mavith with Daisy and Coulson. I like this whole, you know, kind of eerie thing to kick off the episode. But right now we're going to see them kind of kick it off for sure. Here's what I mean. Here we go. Well, for one, you already see that they're wearing the death vests, so shit's serious. I mean, Lincoln just handed Mac the trigger. We don't know it just yet, but it's actually pretty cool. And of course, you have May piloting a Quinjet as if it were a submarine. Because they're literally underwater.
Oh.
I mean, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s always pretty good about putting in these little, really these small details to just kind of like amp up anticipation. Good thing they're not flying near the island. God. I always love it when they give May an opportunity to do some really like crazy weird shit with flying.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if like someone can made an edit somewhere about like all the different times May was like flying a really challenging flight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's the one to get.
Ooh, that's a nice shot.
That, it was, right?
That was
I was
really
like,
really nice.
This is really
I was honestly
better
waiting.
Than the last Marvel movies combined.
Yeah, I was honestly waiting for like a green screen type of shot, but it's like, no, I think that was
yes.
pretty maybe the sun
yes.
was probably fake, I don't know, but it yeah, it looked great. Talbot already working with S.H.I.E.L.D., doing all these tricks that he's been a part
yeah.
of.
Yeah, yeah.
That he's gone on the other end of it.
I mean, because he's going to have to do it. And I feel like this automatically, look, Talbot's been through enough with these guys that, okay, there's really no getting around it.
Mm-hmm.
I just love, like, all the, like, this is exactly what a finale should get you feeling, right? Like, off the bat, the team's like in so many different locations, and they're all, you can tell, even though it doesn't quite, you know, I think, like, shape in your head, like, what exactly all of this is going to fit. You know when you're watching this, all of this is, like, all of these are pieces to a puzzle that it's being put together while you're watching it, but you're not quite sure what it is or what we're even getting to. But when it all happens, and then, oh, God, this is, come on. Geniuses, these people.
Pulling off a Mysterio before Mysterio came along.
Yeah, yeah.
The way he crouched down, like, okay, we could do this.
Radcliffe's just like, why the hell am I still here? Somebody get me out of this nightmare. You can just tell just by how where he's positioned, like he does not want to be here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is
he's done.
Done. Me too, May. Me too. I would give up. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
I was thinking the same thing. And it was like, we have an inhuman god in the building. Like, it's just taking your time with this. Speaking of, this literally happens at the end of season 6. If you forget, or if you recall, Elena gets taken over by a shrike, one of Izel's shrike. Like, she swallows it. And when the shrike go into their system, they kind of become zombies and they're slaves. And, you know, Yo-Yo is like adamant to Mac, you have to kill me if this happens. It's basically Sinners. that thing at the end of Sinners where it's like, you need to kill me before I turn or blah, 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 whatever. And that literally will happen. So again, when this is written, they're not thinking, oh yeah, somewhere in the end, we're going to have something like this happen. But it's interesting when you go back and watch a series again, you pick up on things like this. Oh, this is literally going to happen to you guys toward the end of the show. See, I feel like at this point, Radcliffe's doing this just to keep him going insane. Because, like, I mean, what else do you do?
No, yeah. And I mean, it just makes perfect sense. He's going about it like a doctor or, you know.
Right.
Whatever kind of scientist he is, I can't remember. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I don't think you'd get very far, though. I mean, eventually. A little bit of Ward in that attitude right there. I was, some of you caught that. I was like, oh, that's the most he's been in a while.
Again, the many, many times I'll praise the writing.
yeah.
In just, how long has it been? Oh, where are we on? 15 minutes. We just keep going like in a circle of intensity.
So much happened.
Action,
in the last
comedy,
15 minutes.
Like, and then back to intensity or horror, I guess. At least that last part with Lincoln and Hive.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a horror moment.
Yeah.
But it's just, I can't believe how well they balance it out. Because you're getting to this
right?
crazy moment of literal warhead going to launch. And then it cuts to Fitz in the fucking, what's it called?
The mocap,
mocap suit for comedy. And then goes back to like a serious moment where, you know, they need to get the codes and all that, and then we go back to then everything else happening, building up intensity, and then going back down with Radcliffe. Like, and it makes sense, like I said, like it makes sense to him, you know, trying to talk his way at like figuring this out. He's going about it like a scientist, like he would, like with a, if he was operating on someone or something. And just, yeah, it's
also fantastic. That whole discussion just there not only just set up the twist that happens at the end of this episode, but it basically sets up all of season 4. That exchange with Daisy and Coulson, where Daisy's like, I'm a criminal, I deserve this, I don't deserve forgiveness. And then she kind of uses that to kind of like separate herself from the crew after what happens with Lincoln and Hive.
It also just sucks that she feels that way, probably because she's already disconnected from Hive. Because if he, like, you know, gives him all this dopamine and then she just loses it like that, that's probably the only reason why she does feel that way.
A lot faster. God, that delivery. Oh, it won't, no, but it'll suck. Yeah. I would have gone. That's an amazing utilization of this machine, by the way. I mean, that's wow. That look.
Yeah.
Yeah, that got him good.
That's
was a great
insane plan. Grunts along.
Jesus Christ.
That wide shot with all three of them. You see that one dude with the explosive powers going like, what the fuck is he doing?
Right, funny.
It was very subtle. It was only once, but it was funny.
Yeah, I saw that too. That's pretty nice. I mean, also, you're a longtime fan. Just like the reutilization of these lines.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, again, it's walk down memory lane, obviously. And also just a reminder of how far we've come, how far these characters have come to. The look on May's face was like, what the fuck?
It's so good. Oh my god.
Can we just say what? That was an incredible set piece. That was almost just like if this was a movie, right? Like how long was that? Like how many minutes is that whole sequence? Like that was over half the episode.
Oh my god.
Like it just, it was, I mean,
again, building, it builds up and up and up in intensity and then always brings you back down. And it's in the right way with the right characters doing this. That's, this show's so good.
Yeah, it really is. That was 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Also, that shows that they weren't sending Gemma because she heard everyone. It's just like, it was just protocol.
She just happened to be there. Yeah, mm-hmm. Protocol, yeah. Everybody else is gone. Like, who else is at the, no one else is at the base.
Yeah, true.
She can't go one season without being traumatized, can she?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it just feels like every time you get to the end, something just happens that just breaks her.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's a TV show for you.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like saying, you know, Fitz and Simmons can't go one season without being a part of something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know people talk about it all the time. I think this is a perfect illustration of like where a guy's head immediately goes and where a woman is just not at all talking about the same thing. Although, to be fair to Fitz, the way she said that, I'm going to do something with you on the island that will take your breath away. Hey,
also awesome way to move the necklace.
Great. Yes, yes. Yeah. They really do a lot of like moving it around this episode. So, I mean, again, they're purposefully keeping you guessing to see who it is going to get offed off. Nice throwback there that did happen to Mac
mm-hmm.
Back in season two. See the little model of the bus there in front of him?
No, I missed it.
You should go back and watch it when you get the chance. I mean, that's he has a little toy model of the original bus on his desk. I would close it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you still have a lot of Hives people out there? Like, what do you... Speaking of, So much for O'Brien. Man, when they give you lines on this show, it's like the red shirt in Star Trek. What can you do? Jeez. I guess you could have gone into the Zephyr and closed it, right?
Yeah.
Then maybe they would have gotten in. Yeah, that's doing nothing to them.
Yeah. But yeah, the best bet was just going into the Zephyr, and it would have added to the intensity of it, especially because he has the necklace.
By the skin of your teeth. Yeah, this is beginning to feel like S.H.I.E.L.D. got played here. Right? Like, and it's a pretty hilarious and sad way to kind of turn what was an amazing victory into just a humiliation. Like, yeah. What?
Also, there's a place called Absolution, Montana.
Yeah, that's interesting. Is there? I think there might be.
Let me look it up.
That's an interesting name for a town. Mm-hmm. Absolution.
Let's see.
And here comes this.
That's fucked up. Also, I looked up. I don't think it's real. Absolution, Montana.
Maybe it's not. Maybe it was just for the sake of the show, which is hilarious if that's the case. It just made up the name of a town. Whatever.
I know. Which is I don't know how I feel about that, because it's like, if it was real, I can be like, oh dang, that's a cool way to, you know, use some real life setting that we didn't know about. But if you just made it up, it's kind of like, well, if it's kind of like a cop out, you know, trying to figure out what it is, and it's just this.
I feel about the fact that Madame Web's on Disney Plus. What the fuck? I just saw a damn banner fly by. That's weird, right? Should it really be on Disney Plus, Madame Web?
I don't think.
Sorry, I completely just torpedoed what you were saying.
No, yeah.
But it was distracting, because Disney Plus is showing me things, and I'm like, Freakier Friday, then
Jonas Christmas.
Madame Web. Okay, that's not what you would. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry. But yeah. Sorry, you were saying?
To just make it up, you know, feels kind of like a cop out. You know, you're trying to add this twist, but really you just make something up and it's not really something that we would have figured out, you know? And then same thing with the bum moment with the, what was it? Theory thing. to open the door. I don't know if it does get explained later, but you know the
which
thing,
one?
The thing Fifth and Simmons were talking to each other about. It's like, hey, you remember that theory thing? And they're like, yeah, do that to open the door.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that get explained later or not?
Probably not.
Okay, then I don't know. That's just a weird add-on then. Just to be kind of like add the intensity of it. I don't know. Especially with the explanation right, so of just being
let's go ahead
like...
and look at Eric Goldman's review here. The penultimate episode of Season 3, Absolution, had some interesting material while also including some exacerbating moments. A big problem here was Daisy feeling so awful and guilty when what she did on a TV show level didn't seem to warrant it. Yes, she betrayed and tried to kill her friends is a big thing to say in the real world, but for her to say to have this level of on-screen guilt, it felt like she needed to have done something truly traumatic, like, say, succeed in killing at least one of her friends, or anyone innocent, really. She killed that Kree warrior, sure, but he arguably was a threat on his own. Bottom line, her nearly soul-crushing guilt just wasn't earned based on what happened. That being said, I did like her big moment when Mac, with Mac. Their partnership and friendship has been a sweet aspect of the show. Lincoln, meanwhile, deciding S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't for him fell flat because Lincoln himself continues to be a cipher. Early on, S.H.I.E.L.D. had a problem with pushing the humor too far or at times when it felt out of place, and that vibe occurred here with Fitz's bit in the mocap suit. I really do wonder if Eric, and I really don't mean to push back on him too hard because I do like him, but this really aggravates me. Because I wonder how many times he or anybody else of his particular taste or variety went out of their way to so often criticize the use of humor in the MCU movies. Because I don't think they ever did. In fact, I think throughout the same time, they were slavishly devoted to praising every aspect of those films, including their use of humor, when oftentimes looking back on those movies, they very much undermined and belittled many very important character moments in those films because they were just so slavishly devoted to the same brand of not very funny humor, as a matter of fact. Whereas S.H.I.E.L.D., anytime S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing anything funny, it's always hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, it's funny in how I explained it. Like, it makes sense for whenever a character is making a joke, it makes sense for them to be making a joke because that's how you set it up. Whereas with every single character in the MCU is always cracking a joke, and it's like you need to add a balance of someone taking this super seriously.
And don't you fucking dare anybody out there say that Guardians 2 is the primary example of this. The Guardians films, if you have your salt at all, if your word means anything, you should learn by now to separate the Guardians movies from the rest of the MCU films, because the Guardians films are actual films on their own. Mm-hmm. And even then, the James Gunn brand of humor is not the same as the Marvel brand of humor. Because guess what? James Gunn, like the showrunners of S.H.I.E.L.D., they actually know funny. The MCU is not really all that creative or original when it comes to the kind of humor that they use. And I hate it because one of the things that still to this day gets a bad rap is Guardians Volume 2, because it uses a lot of humor. Mm-hmm. But I don't, and people can say that, you know, there are moments where it gets to be too much. I feel like people always, and I mean this genuinely, they always latch onto the wrong freaking movie and use it as an example of why certain things are bad or awful. Thor: Love and Thunder ultimately is not that good of a film. I understand and I recognize that. But to say that it is the reason for why things fell off, when legitimately, again, I think Love and Thunder is a great example of the humor maybe being a bit much, and it can be all over the place. Sure, I grant you that. But hey, at least there was funny stuff in Thor: Love and Thunder. Mm-hmm. Those screaming goats? Are you kidding me? That worked. But I
no, honestly,
I did not mean for this to begin a tangent on like Christian Harloff initiating a hit peace campaign against Guardians 2 when it came out, saying that you get a joke and you get a joke and you get a joke. Guardians 2 is not what we mean when the MCU uses humor to diminish everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Just so we're clear about that, David. Sorry, I had to just get that out of my system.
Go ahead. Honestly, like, I've been seeing some videos recently of like people complaining about humor nowadays with certain movies and all that. And I'm
just stop you right there. I'm sorry. People complain too much about the dumbest shit ever about movies. People complain about, oh my God, there's too much romance. Oh my God, they're kissing. Oh my God, why are they talking about sex? Oh my God, why is it funny? Why can't we just have a serious, monotone, flat, AI, boring ass, mid ass thing that doesn't make you think at all?
Mm-hmm. No, but like there were.
Oh, don't worry. Disney is coming to your rescue. You're exactly the kind of audience they're catering to. Just go watch that trash dump ass fire. What was it, Lilo and Stitch, where you have Zach Galifianakis? Literally, either he's and I didn't watch this movie, to be clear. I was hearing it, refused to watch it. I was doing work, and then they had to play that goddamn thing in the background. But I'm like, the things they had him say, either they allow him to go off the cuff and he was just improvising, or they literally just went AI. Crapped out lines that they thought people would find funny and wasn't actually funny at all. Okay? Sorry, I cannot stand the way audiences, like, you're complaining about the wrong things. Hey, why don't, instead of using our energy to attack critics for having negative things to say about Wicked, why don't we just all say that Wicked is good, actually, but we can all get behind the idea that it looks awful and it is a disaster of lighting and a disaster of cinematography and the direction is quite horrendous. We can do both things at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
David, I'm sorry. You really opened up a can of worms with all these different things. But the point is, and I don't mean to take away from what you were going to say, but I think the point needs to be made that there are far too many stupid things that, quite frankly, stupid audiences latch onto and complain about, and this being one of them. Go ahead.
Well, they were talking about humor in certain movies nowadays, and they were talking about Predator Badlands and the original Predator, and I've seen the original Predator. I think it's fine. But the reason why I think it's only fine is because of the jokes that...
They don't work for you.
They don't, no. Like... I don't, it's just so weird seeing how, like, you know, you watch the original Predator and it's just nothing but one-liners, you know? And yes, some of them are memorable, but like, they're memorable because you're making fun of Arnold Schwarzenegger, the get back get to the chopper. Yeah. Like, that's, and so, like, you know, they're saying they want to use that as like, oh, see, these lines are iconic. It's like, you're making fun of him. That's not the reason why it's iconic. You know what's iconic? You either live long enough to it? You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. That's iconic.
Are you telling me you don't really care for Predator? But I mean, you're making a really good argument. You don't care for the original movie in large part because the humor or the style of humor that it's utilizing is, you're just not,
it's just a it fan was of, it's not working for me,
which is fair. Which is fair, honestly.
Mm-hmm. And and again, it wasn't working for me for the original Running Man. I saw that before watching this newest one. And, you know, again, it's just him doing nothing but
David, one-liners. I'm sorry. Time out. I want to just clarify certain things. Are you talking about the humor in the new Predator or the humor in the original Predator?
Well, humor, in terms of disliking it, humor in the original Predator.
That's okay. That's what I thought you meant.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to be clear. I thought you were saying the newer one. No, you meant the original one.
No, yeah. I like the comedy in the newer one. It works. I think it works better, again, mm-hmm. because they are utilizing how that character is. You know, the Predator in Badlands.
Right.
You know, he's very...
that was a good movie.
Yeah,
that was a really good movie.
Yeah, I liked it.
Watch that movie.
It was fun.
Yeah.
But... In that one, you know,
I'm sorry to cut you off, but the VFX in that movie were amazing.
Mm-hmm.
$100 million.
Yeah. That's looks better than
there's
MCU.
No excuse.
Mm-hmm. There's no excuse.
No excuse.
Yeah. And, it's just, again, with that, I understand, Predator fans kind of disliking the humor because, you know, when they think Predator, they're thinking you're just, you know, big, bulky, no lines, basically, and all that. And that part of it, I understand, but we got to connect with the character. So they're trying to work around that. And he's very, you know, to the point, sort of like the fish out of water character type. And the humor that he does in the Badlands, I think it just makes sense for his character. And so I find it kind of interesting how people are latching onto comedy nowadays with some of these movies, how they're, you know, they're saying like, oh, it's the Joss Whedon effect and all that. But you look back on these 80s movies and all that, and it's just nothing but one-liners. And I'm like, you find this to be comedy gold or something? You find this to be perfectly written? I understand for the original Predator movie.
I think it's
plot-wise, yeah,
it's a couple cool things happening there. David, I feel audiences generally in the 80s were just better because they really embraced a lot of different kinds of movies. And comedy was something that wasn't like undermined or made out to be a villain. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I think a lot of the people who are complaining about humor these days just fundamentally misunderstood, continue to misunderstand those movies they claim to love. I think it goes back to like Star Wars, for example. There are plenty of people who like love quote unquote Star Wars, and they claim to love the original trilogy, but when you hear them talk and express their feelings about what they like about Star Wars, it's like, no, I think you actually hate those movies, because that's not what Star Wars was really in the first place. I mean, again, Star Wars is all things to all people, obviously, but like, it sounds like you don't really like what Star Wars was when it was those movies, because those movies have a lot of the things that you complain about them having nowadays. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what it is. I feel like it all really stems from media illiteracy and the absolute disinterest and refusal of audiences on their part to really go beyond the bounds of what they already know what they like. For instance, why this week did Disney think people were going to love the AI-generated, I'm going to call it whatever, Moana trailer? It's not, but parts of it probably are, and it looks as bad, if not worse, than AI, so we all understand it. But they really thought, and I'm sure they are correct, that look, it came out this week, it got universally destroyed and trashed as one of the ugliest looking things imaginable. It will make a lick of difference when it comes out. Whenever it comes out in the summer, people are gonna go and watch it because mm-hmm. audiences refuse to entertain going out in droves unless it's something they already know. And that, and so many other annoying audience tendencies really stem from that. Mm-hmm. Well, we really got off the ball here.
No, yeah. I don't know. It was kind of crazy. Like, we were talking about the comedy in this one, and like, I was literally today, you know, while I was delivering, I just keep seeing videos of people, you know, talking about humor nowadays, which is, you know, how they kind of like feel. I understand, and they are right, that sometimes the comedy does undermine certain moments. I get that there was a balance of it, but like, in terms of comparison with something original, like, but the Predator movies, like, comedy has gone better for it. And I don't know. It's just, I just find it weird how certain people view movies from back then till now and all that. I don't know. But yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and go to Ami's reaction.
Please take me back.
It's a play. It's a play. After everything she's been spouting this entire time, no, there's like withdrawals and all that kind of stuff, and like the way she's feeling, that's she doesn't mean that. I'm not buying that for a second. But god damn it, that episode was cruel with the fucking cross. I mean, I kept looking around. I was like, okay, he tried to even hand it back to Yo-Yo, already trying to fuck with this with the idea that he wanted to pass it around. He put it in his pocket, fell out of his pocket, and now Fitz picked it up because he's like, hey, whoa, look at that. Somebody dropped a necklace and put it in his pocket as he put on the shield jacket. Because that's what I was looking at. I was like, Mac and none of them at the base had the shield patch on any of their attire. So that's another thing I kept looking for throughout the episode. And it is still with Fitz, who is still in a jacket, who at least at this point, at the end of the episode, is locked up in that hangar. At least in that little outcropping, whatever that is. Stay there, please. For fuck's sake, stay there. Which I don't think is going to be the case, because guess what happened? Gemma made plans. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? Last time you guys made plans, Hellscape! No! You're not allowed to make plans. You're only allowed spontaneous, in-the-moment decisions. That's it. No planning. No later tonight. We're doing it now or not at all. That's it. That's it. That's the only way this works now. So someone is going to explode. Or at least that jacket and the necklace ends up in there. And if it is in the jacket pocket, man, I'm being so hopeful right now because I don't... Shows like this typically maintain their regular cast for a long time. Sometimes somebody does say goodbye-bye, which is why I'm still kind of thinking once Ghost Rider shows up, there's probably going to be some hell soul thing that brings Ward back after we kill Hive. I do believe... I mean, who knows? This could be this actor's swan song going on of this. So he could be leaving the show after this point. But these people that have been here from the beginning, I have a hard time believing they are going to just exit. But I don't know that. I legitimately do not know that. So I'm like always thinking like, okay, how are we going to keep, you know, recycling this character, bringing them back, keeping them in the fold? And I think with Ward being dead, I think if knowing that Ghost Rider and souls and hell, and which is funny because they're talking about that. It's like, this is the closest thing we're going to get to the devil. And I was like, well, Ghost Rider might have something to say about that later. But yeah. Anyway, I wish I didn't know that, but it was literally impossible to avoid when season 4 was airing. Because again, it really was,
honestly.
And I wasn't watching the show then, but I saw all the promotional media about that. Even like when the casting news was announced, I remember reading the article about it for season 4. Just pop it up on Joe Blow when I was refreshing stuff, you know.
I saw like posters of Ghost Rider everywhere too. So it was just another one of those
characters who's been here from the It was a big deal at some San Diego Comic-Con.
The fact that he might go. So my thought right now, or at least my fucking hope, is that when they do get this warhead on this ship, when they do get in there with the necklace, whatever, whoever, maybe he sees Daisy, comes out to take a peek out from his little hidey hole, and he's like, oh no, I gotta help while I can, and he goes in, you know, they lock him in, they program the autopilot to send it up into space so that it detonates the warhead safely out of the atmosphere, but with Hive on board, but in a shuffle and a tussle, the jacket comes off. Just happens to have the necklace in it. And let's say, because of that dream, you know, maybe Daisy's... Because she has to still be on the ship, right? She sees a death, right? It doesn't always have to be her death, but the vision. Just a death in the vision occurs. So that dream sequence with her and Coulson on the inside that little containment unit on the Hellscape planet. Now, I don't know if that's like, I think that was just a dream. I don't know if that's going to happen, whatever. But those things are designed to resist powered people, right? So like maybe Fitz loses the jacket in a tussle, like I said, and it just is in there. And then Daisy, also on the plane, maybe piloting it, maybe just whatever, who knows. But she's got to be on there to witness the sight that we saw. And from that angle, you know, if she's in that little safety pod she came up in, she would have a line of sight to the cockpit. I'm trying here to make this work to where everybody I love survives. But she would see everything, and she'd be safe in there. It withstands powered people. It should be able to withstand a little explosion from this warhead. I hope, at least. And the death she sees is Hive's. Roundabout enclosed
circle. Not wrong, technically, in the end there. I mean,
love lives. please, please, writers of this show, don't do me dirty. But I have not been very successful at predicting anything, so fuck me. I'm so nervous about what's going to happen next, man. Wild episode, you know, with these final episodes, like usually these final two episodes in every one of these seasons, they are just like breakneck. They are, the tempo is quick. And from jump, we had that little fake out where I was like, did I accidentally skip an episode? that whole little like, oh no, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. And it's her fears and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, it's funny too, because they're the only two with Kree blood who are trapped in this thing trying to survive on the planet. If that ends up happening, I don't understand what we got, how we got there. I'm not even sure how we A to B to that. But if, you know, we wake up from that point and it's just like, okay, we are going after Hive. And then it's the entire thing with them infiltrating Hive's little missile silo that he's acquired. And then even with John Hanna trying to figure out how to make it happen, even after they figure everything out with their little go around with Talbot and Phil and Fitz doing the fucking mocap thing, that was fantastic. That was hilarious. Getting the kill code so they can shut that down, and Ward's just like, oh no, where's my missile going? And it's going nowhere. Haha, bitch. Then going in, and then him getting in Lincoln's head and successfully swaying him without actually swaying him to leave S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, it really cut into him deeply when he was talking about Daisy, what she needed and what Lincoln provides or what he doesn't provide. It really hit him, you know? And he's like, hey, after all of this, I think, you know, even though he qualified and Phil was a gay man, after everything you've been through, I think you'd make a great S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. You know, I made my decision, but Lincoln was like, you said I gotta want it, right? And he no longer wants it, seemingly. It sucks, man. I feel bad because, like, he let that get into his head. And at the end of the day, like, you can't always be the missing pieces of everybody. You can just do what you can to help get them through the day. You know, that's all he needs to do. I feel like he's being a little too hard on himself. But, you know, also just seeing Daisy, like, beat herself up over everything that happened. And, like, it was just hard to watch. And just seeing everybody have to keep a distance from her because of all this was also just hard to watch as well, because I get it, protocols, safety, you know, she was compromised and there's all this, you know, but it just sucks. But I'm glad that Mac was like, no, we got to go down there. Fuck the protocol. She needs to hear this. And then he has this beautiful talk with her about the darkness, about all of this and ownership and the fact that, you know, it wasn't her that did any of this and what it's like to linger in these moments. And I like that, you know, she's feeling so just forced out from that bliss that she had, that she's just rebounding the whole other direction where she's just so angry, one at herself and at Hive. And she's starting to kind of, you know, wrestle with a lot of the same emotions that Phil was going through. He's done the thing that she wants to do. He's just like, hey, it doesn't help. I'm telling you now, I've been there. I know how it feels. It just makes things worse. Everybody's just trying their best to help her out through this situation while she's just sitting there just beating herself up over all of it when she just didn't have any control. And I like that what she was talking about. It's like he makes you do terrible things and love him for it. Like, that is some fucked up, twisted shit, man. But this episode was snapping, snapping, snapping again. Great moments. When, you know, Fitz and Simmons, their whole little back and forth, especially in the lab and stuff like that. And then little moments here trying to, like, actually help out. Maggie going toe-to-toe with these thralls. Actually being able to hold her own, even though they're supposed to be super strong. And when we saw them, they ripped that fucking containment unit apart, you know, with their bare hands. But, you know, fisticuffs fight didn't really matter all that much. But it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I'm not going to linger on it, but it is an observation that I made. Or at least a thought that I had that I didn't express in the moment. But then the way they all came together and really scrambled his mind with that, like, setup that they had. And that whole sequence with, you know, the actor as Ward just fritzing through all these different moments and memories of all the different people that Hive has absorbed. That was so well done. So well acted. The way he was just shifting in and out of all these different moments of time and emotions. So good. So good. Loved all of that. It had my nerves dialed up to 11, but this was such a damn good episode.
I mean, look, it is a great hour of television. It also just feels like it's not done, because it just kind of cut off in the middle. So it feels like I watched half of a movie, but I haven't finished the other half yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's not positive, negative, just putting that out there. This was a freaking incredible episode. I was like in it from the beginning to the end. It's the mark of a really great finale, as is what S.H.I.E.L.D., I think, usually does quite well. David.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Great start. Like, kept bringing it up over and over, but yeah, writing's still great. And the way, just like I said, keep building, then brought it down, the comedy, keep building. So great. And Omni mentioned it too. We should have complimented what's his name? The guy who plays Hive.
Brett Dalton.
Yeah, Brett Dalton. Like, his acting on that moment where his mind
was, he was
like,
great.
Yeah, he was absolutely great. It could have come off cringy, but no, sure. He played it really well. Like, going back and forth with his memories, who he's playing and who and all that. It was fantastic.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to go ahead and leave it there. Thank you so much for listening and watching. And be sure to leave your thoughts below on anything we said and anything about the episode or any information that you feel that we should know. And we will catch you here for the season finale, season 3, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.